All right, we are live back for another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. This is a special episode, a special interview that we put together because we're coming at you on this Monday. And you know, we normally drop every Wednesday and we still have our normal Wednesday episode coming out, but we couldn't wait on this. We had to go ahead and make it happen because a special event is coming up. And you all know I'm the master of cliffhangers. So I'm going to hit y'all with cliffhangers the whole time so our guests can fill in the gaps. But welcome back. I am Joseph Ward, the host of the Freedom Train podcast series. My co-host, Mr. Patrick Irvin, couldn't make it today, but I'm holding it down for him. So we want to give a good shout out to Patrick. Remember that the Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. And PAX Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct for Black America, or just the Black diaspora to help us function more as a unit. One of my favorite parts about this website, I have two favorite parts. One is the Learning Center, which is if you hover your mouse over the drop-down box, there's a wealth of resources that you can access, information that you can access to help you learn more about what's going on in the world today and to just educate yourself. And PAX Inc. is also signed up with the Amazon Smile program. And so if this is your first time learning about the Amazon Smile program, basically it's a program built into Amazon to help support nonprofit organizations. So an organization such as PAX Inc., you go to Amazon as you would normally do, do your regular Amazon shopping, and then they have an Amazon Smile section. When you register with the Amazon Smile section, you get to pick a nonprofit organization that you want to support. So really don't have to do anything different outside of your normal Amazon activities. You pick your items that you would normally buy, you buy your items from Amazon, then a portion of your proceeds will go to the organization such as PAX Inc. that you signed up with through the Amazon Smile program. So pretty seamless. And at the same time, you can get your shop on and then you can support an organization at the same time. So Amazon Smile, PACTSINC. And once again, that website is PACTSINC.org. And make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Mr. Patrick Irvin, the rest of our podcasters, Enigma September, Queen Shelby and Queen Candace. We got a movement going on and our podcast network is growing and we also have a podcast directory. So if you're a Black podcaster, we want to make sure that we list as many Black podcasts in this directory so people know where to go to get their Black podcast. So www.freedomtrainradio.com. All right, got our housekeeping out the way. Yeah. Let's do this. So
yeah. I'm going to have to turn the light on because it's a little bit dark in here.
Yes, ma'am.
So
yes,
I'm going to have to like track because we're forward in time, the news.
Right.
So it's starting to get dark. So just like bear with me for one moment.
Oh, yeah? No, go ahead. Because this, I'm telling all listeners and everybody watching this, it's going to be a good one. As you can see, our names are similar. So the Ward Clan, we are worldwide and we're doing our thing, but this interview is going to be great. I'm excited about it because this is actually a follow-up interview that we have with Ms. Khadijah Ward. The last time we talked to her, we were talking about her then book, Dark Girl Boss. She had just overcame a huge hurdle. The company Hugo Boss thought that they can just throw their weight around, and they thought they actually owned the word boss, and they thought that because she was a Black woman and they said boo, that she was just going to go run hiding, and she didn't. She channeled that inner strength in her. She channeled her ancestors because we've always fought back. So she did that, and she stood on her morals. She stood on everything that she believed in, and she was able to come out victorious. So Dark Girl Boss is here. Dark Girl Boss is a book. Isn't it? It has various aspects of it, but I will let her explain more because I don't want to just be erroneous. But she's from London. We've been able to connect through the internet, She's a person who has dedicated her life and her time to fighting for Black people, to make sure that we have our own space, make sure we're liberated in our minds and liberated physically as well. And she's dedicated her writings and her information to the upliftment and empowerment of Black people throughout the globe. So I would like to welcome Ms. Khadijah Ward.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my brother. It's a pleasure to be here, to be talking to you. And thank you so much for doing this special, you know, for me to talk about my event and what I'm doing. So I'm happy to connect with my brothers and sisters across the globe, my American, you know, my African-American brothers and sisters. So I'm really, really happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And you've been doing great things. You know, I'm always paying attention to what you're doing. And I'm seeing your platform grow and grow in just the different aspects that you're bringing to it. But the central theme in what you always do is always surrounding Black empowerment. And yes, I love it. So
thank you so much. I mean, to me, I believe that it's my life's work. It's what I was put here to do. That is my belief. That's my whole kind of being. You know, I have to empower my people to liberate themselves. Yeah.
Right.
So that we can live like how we were living once before, you know, outside of Babylon. So I just believe it's my life's work and what I have to do. And I have to do it. I just like feel the need to do it. I have to do it. I actually don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. And I feel that it's my work to do. So that is what I do all the time, every day. I just think about how can I empower my people? How can I liberate my people? So it is a hard task. It is a hard task, but
yes,
you know, I'm 100% committed to doing it.
Let's see, that's incredible. But also to me, what you do, your work is important as well, because in America, we barely learn about the oppression of Black people in America. You know, we get the whitewashed slave narratives.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us who don't really research or may not read a lot of the history of slavery across the world, a lot of people really don't understand the amount of racism and oppression that Black people in the UK face. They feel like it's an American thing. Because I hear a lot of people saying, well, if I just leave America, then we won't have to deal with the racism. So could you kind of touch on that a bit about, like, because you said you have to work to liberate your people. So can you give a little information about the slave trade and oppression that Black people in the UK face?
Well, first of all, I'd say that it's divide and conquer. If you make people believe that they don't, that they're, you know, that you make a certain, you know, part of the people believe that there isn't a problem, and only that problem may exist within that small part of where they are. So you can kind of have control over them because they don't believe that there's a problem outside of themselves or what they are doing. So the way that the system works is that it keeps us apart so that we don't know what's going on across the water with our brothers and sisters. It's deliberate. So they don't let us know what the history is. They don't, you know, they don't let us know what the history is. And so they keep us in this little bubble so that we don't know what's going on. So you will find that in America, they have no idea about, you know, the history or the slavery that occurred within United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom, they were one of the, I would say, the most prevalent, I would say, within the slave trade, the United Kingdom. But they don't, what they do is they underplay it. So people don't believe that they had much to do it. But when much to do with it. But when you start doing your research, you realize that they had a lot to do with the slave trade. They had a lot to do with it. That, you know, they went to the Caribbean and, you know, they put us there and they conquered us in the Caribbean. But they underplay it. They really do underplay it. And also, when it was all abolished, they actually paid the slave traders. I'm not sure whether my American brothers and sisters are aware of this, but they actually paid the slave traders compensation because there was no more slave trading. So they paid them for not having slaves. And I think that would be today. I think it was about, say, 20 million back then. Wow. But now that would be equivalent to like a billion or something like that, right. A few billion now. So you're compensating not having slavery. But a lot of people don't understand that. If you're outside of the UK, you may not know that. You may not be aware of that and how much of the UK was involved in the slave trade. You know, I mean, I come from Barbados. And when I went back to Barbados, Barbados keep lots and lots of records. They have lots of records about slavery. And I found it was amazed. I was amazed by all of the records that I saw in terms of the, not the names of the slave, but, you know, they numbered them. This was the slave. And you could, take it back to your family. You could trace it back. Cause I did some tracing back because the records are that really, really good. But, you know, how much they sold us for. And it's just really, really heartbreaking. But unless you come from the Caribbean, unless you go and research that in the Caribbean, you will not know that United Kingdom was connected with the slave trade like that. Yeah. Right. So it's about us having to do our own research so that we understand how much these people were involved, you know, in the slave trade and how much they work towards keeping us apart, keeping us actually ignorant.
Yes.
In terms of not knowing, you know, the dirty works of what they've done.
Right. Yeah, and you put that beautifully, and because my co-host Patrick and I, we're having a conversation earlier this week about, because there was a conversation about the number of slaves brought to the United States, or just the number of slaves involved in the slave trade period, because a lot of people are not reading. They have a lot of misconceptions, misinformation, and they think because only around 500,000 slaves were brought to the actual U.S., the United States, that's the amount that were actually taken during the slave trade. It's like, well, no, you getting that all mixed up. But then there's the piece missing from how the Caribbean, a lot of black people taken from the Caribbean to the U.K. and being able to feed it that way. So I'm glad that you were able to put a stamp on that, because a lot of people don't know.
No, it's misinformation, and it's deliberate misinformation.
Right.
So that you do not understand, you do not know, and then you won't feel away. You won't feel bad towards these people because you don't actually know what they've done.
Exactly.
So if they don't tell you what they've done, then you have no real reason, you know, to feel bad towards them. So it's all a strategy. It's a very clever strategy.
Yes. But see, that's why you exist. All right. So we went ahead and we talked about the why of what we do. And you talked about this is something that you need to do. So let's kind of back it up a bit and give people a little more information about who you are and when you first decided to take up this mission to fight for your people.
Okay, well, I'm an author, first and foremost. I'm an author, and I've been writing as a child. I've always loved writing, reading. So I've been doing it as a child, but I only became a published author in my later life. And I think that is because you're taken through the system. So, you know, it's about what you're taught. So I'm taught that I have to go through the system. I have to go to school. I have to get a job. I have to go to college. Right. I have to. So I'm taught. So I go through the system, that I'm taught to go through. So I didn't really kind of pursue my creativity, should I say, when I was growing up. But I always had a passion for, first of all, it was like what I would say was helping the underdog. Let me just put it that way. So I had a passion for, you know, when there was injustice, I always had a passion for helping people that went through injustice. So that was always within me. But I think that as I grew older, I kind of I realized that this is about not just generally people going through injustice. This is about my people. This is about my people going through injustice and what is right and what is wrong. You know, so, I mean, it was my mission. It's my mission to, you know, to liberate my people, as I said, but it only came to me late in life. So I would say when I decided to embark upon this mission, it occurred about 2016,
right?
Because I was still in the corporate plantation, but I came out of the corporate plantation. I went back home, like, to Barbados, where I'm from, because I didn't want to stay in Babylon. So I thought, let me go to Barbados. That's my family there. I need to go there. Let me live there. And it was on the beach that I had a revelation. So on the beach, the revelation that I had was, is that I need to be telling my people that we need to get out of this system. We need to stop this. We need to realize about white supremacy. Yeah, we need to realize that we shouldn't be living under this system. We need to liberate ourselves. So that was the revelation I had on the beach. And then from that revelation, there, Black Sterling was born from there. That was my first book, Black Sterling, yeah? So that was all. That's all about the system and how we can come out of the system. Great so that book. Was my Great first. Book. Thank you so much, my brother. That was the first revelation. And since that revelation, I've just built upon that revelation. I've just persevered in terms of trying to liberate my people, make them understand that we have to actually leave here. And I'm missing out a big gap. But where I am now is that we have to actually leave the United Kingdom. Or Europe, shall I say. We have to leave Europe. We have to go back to Africa. We don't have a choice. Uh-huh. There's no choice. And that's kind of where I am now. And I feel that I've taken the baton from Marcus Garvey. And people may think that, oh, God, you're so full of yourself. You think that you can take the baton from Marcus Garvey and do what Marcus Garvey did. But actually, yes, I do. And I feel that it's, and I actually feel that it's my mission to do that. I feel deep within my heart. Everything that I do, when I write a book, when I create a product, when I do this, it's comes from the heart, my heart, and it's for my people. Yeah. So my ultimate goal is to actually say to people, remove yourself from the system. You have to go back to Africa.
Right.
That's where we belong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think it's crazy, too ambitious to pick up the mantle of Marcus Garvey to, as far as the bringing of African people back to Africa. I mean, Marcus Garvey wasn't a actual like superhero. Like Marcus Garvey was a regular human being like yourself. But he understood the power within him, and that's what made him super. That's what made him iconic, because he didn't listen to the naysayers. He believed that he could do this. And if you have that same belief, I don't understand why if somebody would look at you any type of way. If they do, then to me they just really don't understand the power that we as Black people have within us, because, you know, I'm sure if somebody told Marcus Garvey he couldn't, I'm sure he might have had doubts at times, but he did it.
He did it. But yeah, and I mean, as I said, it's like my every working moment, every waking moment, I think about what I can do next. What shall I do next? How can I do it? How can I approach this?
Right.
And as I said, it is a hard job, because the trauma that we've been through in terms of, you know, the slavery, the 500 years, it is very traumatic, and they've done a real number. They've done a real number upon us. And so it's hard to kind of undo that. So, you know, I just do the best I can do in terms of the people that understand it, that want it, that appreciate it. They're the people that I'm calling. They're the people that I'm calling upon to say, let's do this. Let's kind of do this together. But also there's another aspect to it where I think that you have to build and then you have to bring the people, because they don't always believe. They don't want to build with you because they don't believe in you. But once you've done it and you've built it and you say, look, this is it, you know, come hither and do this with me, then they can see it. They can see an actual something, a product, something that they can believe in. So for me, it's about, let me try and build something and then say to the people, look, this is it. This is what we should be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So, Black Sterling, like I said, great book. Go get it. Go get where can people buy Black Sterling?
Right. Okay. At the moment, they can get it on Amazon. It is on Amazon. What I'm doing is I'm building my own like site, my funnel, where people can get it from me. But if they want to get it like today or tomorrow, just go to Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Black Sterling was the first book. And then Dark Girl Boss.
Yeah. Dark Girl Boss. Dark Girl Boss. Was born out of, I thought, you know, that's obviously about women. So I thought to myself, let me try to, you know, promote our women, unite our women. Like Empress Unity is a main theme of the book Dark Girl Boss. And that's about trying to remove empresses from the corporate plantation. So it's trying to make them believe in themselves, believe in their greatness, so that they don't, you know, we don't, you know, we we don't get, what is it? What's it called? The bloody, you know, doing our skin, you know, like skin lightening. So it's all about all of those things that aren't African. So it's like diluting your blackness and things like that. So it's trying to stop them doing those kinds of things and appreciating and loving yourself for the goddess, for the dark girl boss that you are, the queen, the empress that you are, and appreciating that, yeah? So I'm showing you within this book, this is what you are. I'm telling you, you are great. And I'm telling you, these are the things that you can do, yeah, to achieve your greatness, to really believe in your greatness and then implement your greatness. So that's what Dark Girl Boss is all about. It's about being a boss, being an empress, recognizing your greatness.
Right, right. And you took that whole concept and you ran with it. Like you were everywhere. A perfume was created, Dark Girl Boss.
Yeah. So out of the, because I beat you, Go Boss, and I felt so proud I beat you, Go Boss, because I embraced my greatness because I believed in myself. So I beat you, Go Boss. And out of that, I created a perfume to show that we're great. So the perfume is by Dark Girl Boss. It's called Empress Unity, number one. So I created it just to show empresses we're great. And we can have our own designer perfume. We don't need to be going to buy, you know, Calvin Klein and all those other people. This is a designer perfume that you can buy from a black empress, you know? Right. So, and just to show you, you know, I believe in myself so much. I believe in you. This is ours. This is for us. So that's why I created the scent, the fragrance. Yeah.
Right. So, but what you're saying is important, because if the whole theme or the whole idea is for us to be liberated from white supremacy, then we have to have our own everything. Like the late great 100%. Historian Dr. John Henry Clark always talked about us having our own industries and controlling our own industries. If we're not doing that, then we're always going to be dependent upon somebody else. So 100%. We have to champion people like yourself who are creating things for us that's not only going to enhance our beauty, but enhance our mental space and enhance the way we feel about ourselves as black people globally. Because we're all in this together, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, but we don't tend to realize that we are all linked together. Because because of the slave mentality, there's separatism and there's individualism. So we don't, so there isn't that much unity. So we don't realize that we're in it all together, actually. We just think about ourselves. And that's what needs to be changed.
Mm. Right. Okay, so now we move to Dark Boy Boss.
Mm.
And I remember when you were first having the, you first publicized the idea and the concepts behind Dark Boy Boss, because you didn't just want to focus on women, even though as a woman, I don't blame you, focus on women. But you understand that for black people to rise, both our men and our women, our boys and our girls have to be empowered. So out of that 100%. Became Dark Boy Boss. So just give us a little more information about what the book is about, what people will get from the book, and kind of the story behind you putting together the book.
Well, first of all, I have two sons. So, I mean, I've raised boys. And I think to myself, if I wish that I would have had something like Dark Boy Boss when I was raising my sons, because I had to, at the end of the day, I'm a female, so I can't, I can raise my sons and I can show them how they ought to treat empresses, but I can't teach them how to be a man because I'm not one.
Right.
So, and the thing is that we have a lot of problems in terms of our boys believing in themselves, believing in their greatness, so they can't become leaders because they don't believe in themselves. Right. If you just look at what's going on, and that this is universal, so it will be in the US and UK, all over Europe, everywhere, it will be the self-destruction of the young black male, the young African male, their self-destruction. So, and that's because we don't believe in ourselves. Now, for us to go and, for example, one black male to go and kill another black male, let's say, for example, let me just say that for, you know, just use that for a moment as an example. That's because you do not love yourself. Because if you did love yourself, if you saw something that was a reflection of yourself, you wouldn't destroy it, would you? You would not destroy it. But because we have that mentality, we're self-destructing. Yeah, we all know why we have it. Yeah, it's to do with the slavery and what they've done to us. But that's what we're dealing with at the moment. We're dealing with that disbelief. You do not believe you're great. You actually believe that you're worth nothing. Because if you can just take, if you can take a life, if you can destroy your own life, then you don't believe in your self worth. And to me, I thought the whole Genes of Greatness, because my brand is actually Genes of Greatness. That's my actual brand. So the brand deals with making belief, our people belief in that they are great and they come from greatness. You have to believe that. I believe it. I believe it about myself. If I did not believe that, I couldn't beat Hugo Boss. The reason I beat Hugo Boss is because I believed in who I was.
Right.
And that's the reason. So that's the whole concept behind Dark Boy Boss Genes of Greatness. That's the name of the book, and the brand is Genes of Greatness. So it just came to me after I'd done Dark Girl Boss, the book. It just came to me. I'm always thinking, I'm always like, you know, things just come to me. My creativity, it just happens just like that. Right. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know what, I need to actually help the young kings. So I'm going to create something, which is an affirmation book.
Right.
And we all know that affirmations, if you think, if you talk about like psychology, if you, affirmations, if you say them enough, if you believe in them enough, then you can make that action, you can act upon, there's a positive act after those affirmations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, it was about doing positive affirmations and also showing like your superheroes, your ancestral superheroes. So for me, your superheroes are people that, you know, I've said in the book, I didn't mention Marcus Garvey in this one, incidentally, but I have mentioned other ones, even you, even like current ones as well. There's a young boy, his name's Omari Sharif. He's the youngest restaurateur in the world, but he was only 12. Yeah, so it's those type of people. And also I put the same bolt in there as well, because I'm talking about the our genes, our DNA, how, you know, what we can actually produce from that. We it's natural greatness. That's what I'm trying to show people. And this is what you have to believe in. This is what you have to believe in. So for me, it was just about showing that they are great. And if I just, that, here's the book here. Like that's the actual book there. And that's actually my grandson on there. That's my grandson on the front. Yeah, yeah. So it's my grandson. And then it's got different, affirmations in it. Yeah, it's got all different affirmations. Right. Yeah, it's just, and there's the little superboy hero again that was modeled on my grandson. So for me, it's about creating a new generation, And just because I'm a female, it doesn't mean to say that I can't try to create a new generation of males. Do you understand? Because you come from me. You come from me. I born you, yeah? So I have the right... Yeah, to create something like this, yeah, to make you believe in your greatness, to enhance your quality of life, yeah. So for me, I have the right to do that, and that's why I'm doing it, because it's needed, it's necessary, and and I should say, the way I promote this book is to say that, in any school anywhere in the world, you won't find what you find in this book. In any school in the world, you won't find what you find in here. You won't find it anywhere. Because that isn't what the systems of the school are about elevating young black boys. It isn't about that. So you're not going to find it. Yeah. So that is, I always promote it in that way. You're going to, this book is unique. I don't know any other book where it's dedicated to trying to activate, you know, the DNA, the greatness of young boys. I don't know any other book, not in UK. I don't know about the US, but there isn't one. So this book is very, very unique. And I'm trying to get it into, you know, all the households. So once they read it, I mean, the boys that have read it so far, a couple of boys, and I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. One boy, he had an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know who he was. And his mother got him the book. He was actually a mixed race boy. So she got him the book. And then after reading it, she said he just felt that he was great. He didn't know that he was connected to like African superheroes, because I portrayed the people in there as superheroes, some of them.
Right.
So he didn't know. And so now he feels, he doesn't feel bad about his identity. He knows who he is and he feels actually proud of it. Yeah. There was another young boy as well that read the book, and he was saying that, you know, I'm only a young boy, but my genes are ancient. And these are, this is because reading this, so this is the power, the impact of this book. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to change your self-belief.
Right. But see, the book is powerful. And I love the part when you said activate your genes, activate your greatness. I love that. So I want to ask about that before I get to my comment. So what made you focus or have a focus of the book to have the activation of the greatness or activation of that genetic ancestral greatness that we have? Like, why did you do that?
You know what? it's my creativity. Because the thing is, what happens is just like I just get ideas just come in my head. Things just come into my head. So it isn't any one thing that happens that makes me think, okay, Leah, let me do that. It's just like I just get these bursts of creativity. So I'm thinking, this is what I need to do. I mean, like, I'm going to read you the first page. Let me go read ahead. You.
Do your like, thing.
It's
your
only thing. Like this is like the first affirmation, okay? So this all is right. What it says, right? The dark boy boss comes from genes of greatness. The original African, the real leader of the world, his physical attributes are second to none. The level of his intellect is beyond reproach. His genetic DNA is the oldest in the world, superior beyond measure. And his spirit is likened to pure gold. In a word, greatness. That's an affirmation that I expect boys to read every day and take from that. And what I'm saying is that these things just come to me. That's how my creativity works. It just comes to me. Yeah, it just comes to me.
But that's cool, because the reason why I wanted to ask that and I hit on that is because I'm a Black man. I'm 36 years old. And for most of my life, 32, 33 years, the idea of affirmations or the idea of having self-esteem as a man was not even a concept. It was just, it was be strong. Don't cry.
Okay.
Don't be a punk. And get money.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So our superheroes are literally athletes and dope dealers. These are literally our superheroes growing up, because these are the men who we have access to. And I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, which is a college town. We have a HBCU. And the PWI, so Florida A&M University, Florida State University. So I knew, so going to college was not a foreign concept. I knew I was going to go to college, but college didn't necessarily translate to greatness until I got there, though. But still, it didn't translate to greatness, because the people who we still saw as the superheroes or the people with money, the successful people, still are athletes and drug dealers. And you have to go to college to be an athlete. For the most part. So it was still a part of it, but it still didn't necessarily connect to anything outside of that. So a book like yours, for me, would have been something that would take me over the top. I would have probably approached life different. I would have probably approached school different, because I knew I was smart, but I didn't care, because I had so many people who told me I can't. So that's why I wanted to ask that, because just personally, I thought about me growing up. I needed a book like Dark Boy Boss.
Yes, most definitely. And now the young people, they have it. They have it because it's needed. And as I said, and I don't believe that we should be sending our children to mainstream schools. There's so many other ways to educate our children. Mm-hmm. And I believe that obviously Dark Boy Boss, Genes of Greatness is one of those educational tools that they can use. And there's other ways that we can educate ourselves. We shouldn't be going through the system, because the system isn't about making our boys feel great. It isn't about, it's the actual opposite of that.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to realize that, and we have to start taking measures. Being brave in terms of, let me take my child from the school system. Let me take my child from, let me be brave. Do not be intimidated. Let me be brave. Right. Take my child from the school system and look at some other way of educating my child, because your child is just being brainwashed through the system, and they're being actually told they're nothing. There's all these subliminal messages. And they're being told that they are nothing. They definitely are not being told they are great. And I can tell you that much. They're definitely not being told that. So they need to be in an environment where they do believe that they're great.
Exactly. Mm. So Saturday, October 17th is when the launch is the official launch of Dark Boy Boss.
Yeah, it's the official launch of Dark Boy Boss. And what we're going to do, the theme is all about the brand in terms of Genes of Greatness. So it's about, you know, making young boys understand that they are great. So I've got some speakers, a few guest speakers, like some guys from the UK, to encourage our young people. Then I have some, a couple of children like reading from the book and speaking and saying what they think about the book. And then I have someone hosting it. And then obviously I have myself just saying a few words as well. But this whole thing is about, number one, it's like trying to get the book into the hands of children. That is what it's trying to do. And making them believe, you know, about that they are great. I mean, and that's it. So once you have the book in your hands and you start reading it, you will start believing.
Right.
100%. Right. You'll start believing. So this so this event is just about promoting that, promoting you as a young black, you know, African boy. Yeah. Say that we believe in you, but you have to start believing in yourself. And this book will actually help you believe in yourself.
Right. And so it'll be, the book will be 10 a.m. your time, correct?
Yeah, 10 a.m. UK time. So it's British Mean Time or Greenwich Mean Time. Yeah, GMT, BMT. Yeah, so it's 10 a.m. So maybe your people may not be able to come on, like, because it will be like in the middle of the night for them, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be like 2 or 3 in the morning. We can stop.
Yeah.
Look, we stay up for basketball games. We stay up for football games. We stay up for the club. We stay up for all types of stuff. So we can stay up and support.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. But if you don't, then obviously I'll try to, you know, the recording, like send the recording around. So it isn't, you know, a big deal if people can't stay out. I understand. But I do want people to see the event, to come on, listen, you know, and, you know, connect. And I really feel that I need to be connecting with my brothers and sisters in the US. Right. I think there needs to be a connection there. We need to be, we shouldn't be, you know, separatists. We shouldn't be doing things separately. We should try and do some collaboration. So, you know, let's just try and, you know, get on the same page in terms of our self-belief.
Right. And so the actual link for the event is in the description of this video. So go to the description of this video, and it's the link that says the www.justtickets.com. So that's the link to the actual event.
Yes.
So if it's under this video, click that link.
Yeah, in the link. But the one that you have up, that's the one to get the book, the genesofgreatness.com. Yeah. Yeah. So there's two separate links. Yeah, there's two separate links. Yeah, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
So like you say, go to genesofgreatness.com/darkboyboss to get your copy. Because you are a great writer. You're great inspiring black people and mixing in the history with it, because it's similar to what I do on the shows of Giants. You know, I focus more so on the individuals and tell those stories. But
yeah, I love what you do, my brother. I love what you do.
I appreciate it. Mm. I really appreciate it, because, you know, a lot of work goes into finding these stories and telling this information. And we both are on the same mission of making sure that our people, young and old, know about our past. I'm tired of us being misinformed, us really thinking that we are only descendants of slaves. No, slavery interrupted our history.
100%. And that is what I say in the Dark Boy Boss book. It was rudely interrupted by slavery. But before that, we had a rich, beautiful history, you know? So, and that's what we have to understand. Because if you feel that you've just come from slavery, you're not going to feel good about yourself, are you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was taught about slavery. I was about 11 when I was in school. And I was the only black person actually in the class. It was the top class of the school. I was the only black person in there. And they was talking about slavery, showing the pictures of, you know, the woman in chains with her son. And I felt a sinking feeling, because I thought, is this where I'm from?
Right.
And I was, you think about the impact of that on an 11-year-old child. 11, 12 year old child, it isn't very good. If you're not going to feel good about yourself, if you think that you're somebody's slave, you know, right. So we have to start really believing and understanding where we come from. We just have to know, we have to know our history and believe right. in ourselves. We have to, it has to start from there.
Right. So I'm curious about something, and I hope this doesn't come off wrong, but in the United States, we have color issues as far as dark skin, light skin.
Yeah.
We have that. And you know, I'm knowledgeable enough to understand that Black people all around the globe, no matter if you're dark or light, you're going to have that sentiment from white America, or sentiment from other non-Black people, or even Black people. But also understand that dark-skinned Black people are stigmatized in a way that is different. So as a young, dark-skinned Black girl in a sea of white people at 11 years old learning about slavery, what type of impact, because I know you were saying, well, did I come from this, but what type of impact did that have on your self-esteem as far as how you looked at yourself and how you truly felt about yourself in that environment?
Well, I mean, first of all, people used to call me Blackie anyway. They used to call me Blackie in the school playground and all that about my dark. I was dark. I'm just trying to think about how it really made me feel. It didn't make me feel good, put it that way. Right. I didn't feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel good about myself. And I think that I probably felt inferior. I felt inferior. I mean, I can't remember the exact feeling that I had at the time, but I believe it was around like feeling inferior because you're connected to someone that you think that's just like, you know, in chains and doing what someone tells them to do. So for me, I didn't like it at all. I didn't, you know, it didn't feel good to me at all. And it kind of made me a little bit shrivel within myself. But I still, because I was quite a strong person, even though I was only 12. I was still like vocal, you know, saying things. I would still fight people, you know, if I had a problem and stuff like that. But it didn't make me feel good about myself. I just felt bad because I didn't know anything about myself. The only thing I'd heard from my parents was about Barbados. That was all I knew about. So we'd hear stories about back home and things like that, but I didn't know anything about slavery. Nobody talked about slavery in our household. So I didn't know anything about it. I learned about it in school. And as I said, when I found out about it, it was a shock to my system. It was a shock. And I didn't feel good about myself at all. And I didn't know, how would I counteract that? Mm-hmm. If someone's telling me as well, someone's saying to me, you were our slave, how could I counteract that? Because I don't know any different.
Right.
Do you understand? It's just like, it's very difficult for children if they don't have the full information. They have part of the story, only a part of the story. They don't have the entire story. But you have the negative part of the story. So it's like, how do I deal with that? I didn't know. How would I deal with that? The only way you can deal with it is you lash out.
Yeah.
The only thing you know. You don't know anything else. You're just lashing out at people. But you can't argue with them on an intellectual level because you don't have the information.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's about having the information so you can argue. You can put your case forward. Yeah? But I didn't have the information when I was that age. So I had to swallow it and live with it.
Right. Mm. What's interesting is every school I've gone to has been predominantly Black.
Yeah.
Elementary, middle school was the difference. It was half white, half Black. But college, I went to it, like I said, HBCU. Always lived in Black neighborhoods. I probably can count on one or both hands the amount of white teachers I've had.
Okay.
But the problem was, until I got to college at FAMU, I didn't really learn Black history. So we only learned about Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Frederick Douglass, and Harriet Tubman, and a little bit of Malcolm, not too much. You know, they couldn't give us too much Malcolm. So just a little bit of Malcolm X. But every year, same four people. Every year. Now, I've always loved history. So I learned a little more. My dad was a historian, so I had a little more insight than others, but I was still just as ignorant as everybody else about the history of Black people, about what Black people have done. So it's always interesting because that was my growing up. That was all the Black people who grew up with me. That was our reality. And so when I hear, that's unacceptable, because I can understand your journey. If you're a Black student in a white environment, they're not going to teach you your history. But I felt like it was unacceptable for me to come up in an all Black, mostly predominantly Black environments, predominantly Black schools. Most of my teachers were Black women, had more Black male teachers than I had white female teachers.
Okay.
Still learned nothing about our history. So once again, that's why people like yourself are important, because even if we're in environments that are led by Black people, we're still being miseducated.
Because we're being miseducated because we have our Black female teachers and male teachers operating within a system that's against us. It's against us. So what they're doing is they're teaching the way they're told to teach. Mm-hmm. They can't go up. They can't do what they want to do. They can't teach you, you know, about Black history and we were kings and we were queens. They have to go by what that curriculum says. And that curriculum is against us, isn't it? So even though you have the Black teachers aren't really teaching you what you ought to know. Because they're teaching you within a system that is against us, that is designed. So it's designed so that we don't know. It's designed to keep us down. They are within that system. So what it is, they use a lot of psychology. So even though they're putting a Black teacher in front of you, they're making you believe, because you have a Black teacher, that you're learning what you ought to be learning, but you're actually not. You're just being taught. They're using the Black teacher to teach you to hate yourself.
Right.
They use your own people against you within their system. That's how clever these people are. And that's what they've done. That's what they've done to us.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I didn't have any Black teachers. The only Black teacher I had when I was growing up, two Black teachers. One was an African who was a cook, so she taught us cookery. And the other one was a sports teacher. Yeah, so it was two. And that one, the sports teacher, they got rid of her in the end because she was too close to us. I wrote about her in my book. But she got too close to us and they got rid of her because they didn't want us having anyone that was going to empower us, because that's what she was doing. So they got rid of her. But mainly, all the teachers were white. They was white. They were white teachers teaching us a whole heap of shit.
Right. Yeah, and that I don't like that. I don't have any children now, but I'm working actively to put myself in a position financially, and hopefully the person who I procreate with, we're in a position to where we can educate our own. I've learned I'm a pretty good teacher. Like so I want to be able to teach my own, or put them in environments to where I know it's African centered. It's surrounding about the true development of the mental, physical, emotional, psychological aspects of the African child, because we need our people and our children believing in themselves from a young age to an old age. We need to believe in ourselves.
I mean, you could teach your children yourself. You're an author. You know, you're a historian. You know, you can teach your child yourself. The only thing is that you need, what we should do with our children is, obviously we want them to, you know, integrate with other Black children.
Right.
So it's about how are we going to do that outside of teaching them at home. That's the only thing that you have to think about. But apart from that, we can be teaching our children at home. We don't need to be going through these institutions that are designed to destroy us. And that's what we should do. We should be all taking our children out of these things now. We understand what it's doing, but yet we are still going forward and putting our children in the hands of the oppressor. It's crazy. It's absolute madness. It's madness. Yeah. And it's just, it's hard to understand and believe. It's hard to believe. I mean, obviously my children, they went through the school system. They did, but when I was like, you're talking about, I was like, when I had my first child, I was 19. So I didn't know what else could I do. I didn't, at that point, I didn't know anything. It's like, if I take my child, I mean, I was always getting into arguments with teachers at my teacher's school. I even had to slap a teacher at my school.
Good.
But But good. The thing is, it's just like, what if I take my son from the school, what am I going to do with my son? It's like there wasn't, back in those days, I didn't know it what was, to do. I didn't have that kind of network. What should I do? I didn't know what to do. I was on my own. There was no support. There wasn't support networks. Like, okay, take your child out of this school and then, you know, go to this African school. It wasn't there. At least I didn't know it was there. I didn't see it. It wasn't there. But now it's very, very different. You're talking about 40 years on. It's very, very different.
It is.
We do not need our children to be in these schools now. We need to remove them. And I'm really adamant about that. We need to take your children out now. Take it out now. Because they're going through a factory, a conveyor belt, and they're being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed. It's quite simple. It's simple.
But that's why, once again, you are important and those like you are important, because it can help us get out of that cycle of depending on our oppressors to educate our children or being in a situation. Because I know here, poverty is one of the things that Black people are still suffering from across the globe. And if we're impoverished, then we are only able to use the resources that we have. And a lot of those resources are inadequate, especially the educational resources. They're just not good enough. They're not designed. They're designed to keep the people who are in power because they created the resources.
Yes.
So if we are empowering ourselves, if we're building for ourselves, if we're creating for ourselves and supporting ourselves, we can get out of these cycles and we can really, really understand our true genes of greatness.
Exactly. Because it starts with that belief in your greatness. I have to say it all the time. If you believe that you're great, what happens is you automatically start making decisions that demonstrates that. Yeah. So you won't believe that being impoverished, I know, because the system's designed so that we are impoverished, so that we can't get out of the situation that we are in. But once you start having that self-belief, it's like, I'm great. It's like, you know, what shall I do next? The ideas will just come to you. I'm not just saying this. I've experienced it. The ideas will just come to you because you have that self-belief and you know you will make the right decisions in order to better your life. You will start making decisions where you will be working with people that look like you. You will start coming together and start working in unity to build a little school or to do, you know, you don't have to go and build a building to have a school. You could be doing, you could be educating each other around each other's houses. But my point is that until you have that self-belief in who you are, you won't make the correct decisions to progress towards Black liberation. It's about believing in yourself first. That's what it is. And to me, that's what I'm trying to teach, that self-belief. And once you have that self-belief, then you move on and you progress to Black liberation.
There you go. Genesofgreatness.com is the website. Genesofgreatness.com. Go check it out. Genesofgreatness.com/darkboyballsbook. I'm telling you, she's a brilliant author. You can hear the passion in her voice. She's been fighting for our people for a long time. And let's show up and show out and support our sister. Because if we're not supporting ourselves, we tripping, because nobody's coming here to save us. Nobody cares about us. We Black people in the world, we have the worst allies ever. The worst. And we need to understand that. I try to say it as much as possible. We have to be our best allies. And we have to put ourselves in a position to hold others accountable who claim to be our allies. You got to do more than just talk. You got to do more than just hold up signs.
It's actions. Actions. We need actions. We can't be talking. We can't be going onto Facebook, liking and just making comments, and then we go back to our lives. We need proper action.
Right. Exactly. So so what's next for you? What's next for Khadijah Ward? I know we have the... We have the Dark Boy Boss launch coming up October 17th. But where do you see yourself going on from Dark Boy Boss?
Right. So I'll tell you. So I have the Genes of Greatness tours. So the Genes of Greatness tours, it takes people back to Sierra Leone. So we go back to Sierra Leone. You stay in our resort and we talk. We take you all around the country. And what we do is we bring on people to show you how you can invest. If you want to repatriate to Sierra Leone, So that's what I'm doing about trying to get people back in terms of that's one aspect of the Genes of Greatness Foundation. And the other one, Genes of Greatness Foundation, it deals with boys and girls. So it has a Dark Boy Boss Project and Dark Girl Boss Project. I don't want to say too much because I have like, I get a lot of plagiarism. So people tend to like do what I do, but the next step is about these projects that I'm going to do in terms of the Dark Boy Boss Project, Dark Girl Boss Project. Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say. And when it comes up, you will be one of the first people that, you know, knows about what's going to happen next for Genes of Greatness.
I appreciate that.
But the Genes of Greatness brand is about Genes of Greatness for our young people. So it's going to progress from just a book. The book, Dark Boy Boss, Genes of Greatness, is just the start, the very beginning of this entire brand, So the entire brand is about liberation of our children, creating leaders of tomorrow. They are the next generation. So it's about creating those leaders. And I'm putting things into place in order to do that.
Right. We'll definitely appreciate that. So Genes of Greatness is the main website. What are other ways that people can connect with you? What are your social media handles?
Right. So people can connect with me on the dreaded Feisty book. So just go to. I have two, like Facebook is, what is it? I have Khadija Ward public figure, so that's one page. Then I just have Khadija Ward, you can friend me. I have different pages. I have Dark Boy Boss book. I have Black Sterling. I have Dark Girl Boss, So I have all of those things. So you can find me. If you just Googled my name, if you go into Google and Googled my name, you would find where you could find me on social media.
Right.
So that's what, just go and Google me, and that's what you can do. And that's where you find me,
So if you could leave words of encouragement for our Black youth, what words would you give to our young Black boys and girls to help them really believe in themselves and go after everything in life that they want?
I think the first thing is that you need to actually know your history, know where you have come from. Yeah. And realize that you come from greatness. And I don't just say, these aren't just words. This is like reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's about doing research to see where you have really come from, to see what your ancestors have contributed to the world, how they started civilization. So for me, it's about going back, finding out about your ancestors. And from there, you can just take it from there. Then you'll realize, oh, God. I come from a wonderful stock. My ancestors were great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's about knowing your history. The first thing is, it's about knowing your history. And once you do know your history and understand your history, then you will feel more inclined to work in unity with the people that look like you. So so for me, it's for the young people. Just know your history. Yeah. Let's kind of forget about this. Just, you know, we're going on the Instagrams and we're doing all this, all the meaningless things. Let's do some research on history.
Yes.
Yeah. And also get the book. I mean, because I think this book is for all ages. It's for all ages, even though it's a children's book. I believe that a lot of people can learn from it because it's a book of empowerment. So to the young people, I would say you need to empower yourself. Empower yourself and find the tools in order to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And us adults, we're going to make sure that we make it easier for the children to learn the information to empower themselves.
Yeah. That's I mean, as we have a responsibility to create a world that our young people can feel great in, that they can progress in. We shouldn't be putting our young people through what they're going through now. It's our fault. It's our generation. We haven't set up things for them to, you know, be in. We haven't set up our own schools. We haven't set up our own colleges. We haven't set up, you know, businesses that they can go into. So they're having to go and look in Babylon for, you know, what they need. So it's up to us to start creating a new world.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So once again, I'm glad you reached out. I'm glad we're able to connect and make this happen because Dark Boy, your whole platform, Genes of Greatness platform, Dark Girl Boss, Dark Boy Boss, Black Sterling, everything that you produce is of quality, is of substance. So I encourage everybody to go support, get your copies, all three books, October 17th. It's going down. Mm-hmm. All the information you need to be a part of the launch and to get your copy is in the description. I'm going to say it again. It's in the description. Just go click the links in the description and you will be amazed. And remember to comment on this video, like this video, share, subscribe to the channel. Go support Khadijah and everything that she has going on, because people like her are the ones who will be reading about and writing about years and years and years later, because all the people who fight for us, we need to make sure we give them their roses and support them now. So,
no, oh, thank you. That's beautiful. No, absolutely beautiful, you. My brother. Thank you so much. No, thank you.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you soon, because I know I want to help you some more and a lot of things that you got going on, man. And we need to collaborate as well.
Yeah, let's talk offline and then we can do some collaboration. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you, my brother. Man. Thank you so much.
No problem. Pleasure. No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye now. Yeah.